Good morning. It's time for another conversation. This is High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne, here on Talk 960. We're keeping it local with High Desert issues, events, and interesting people. You can hear us Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. on Talk 960 and talk960.com. Let's start talking.
Mia.
Yes.
How are you?
I am doing very well, surviving the heat like we all are.
It's been wonderful. It has been wonderful to have you.
Thank you.
Sitting in with us while Roxanne is on special assignment.
Yes.
So thank you.
You are so welcome.
Thank you. And you're just marvelous, just wonderful.
Aww.
You know, again, we've got another amazing, wonderful guest.
Yes.
Who has been with us here in the High Desert actually since 2019. And the reason why that's so relevant is because he was here during COVID.
Wow.
And he was here at Providence St. Mary's during COVID. And
that's
we
intense.
Know that that was huge.
Yes.
That was just, it was huge. It was intense. It was new territory. And so I'm excited to have Dr. AJ Maganti, who is the Associate Program Director for the Internal Medicine Residency at Providence St. Mary's. It is just my honor to welcome you, Doctor, to Conversations with Regina and Roxanne.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. And like I said, this is my first time, so I'm a little nervous too.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. You survived COVID. Whenever
right.
you feel nervous, you remember you survived
That's
COVID.
That's right.
Yes.
So you got skills beyond all of us.
I'll keep that in mind.
Aww.
So you're here today to talk to us about the emergency room.
Yes.
Right? And, you know, it's, I guess we just want to jump in because how do we determine when it's the appropriate time or time for us to access the emergency room? I mean, you know, common knowledge tells us if it's something that's really critical, we know that emergency is needed, right?
Yes.
But there are other times when it kind of feels like we're not sure, we're not certain. Is this really considered an emergency? Should I be going to urgent care? Should I be going to see my primary? What if the primary says I can't get you in
mm-hmm.
and I'm not feeling good? And so I feel like my only alternative is to go to emergency. So really want to have a really in-depth conversation with you about mm-hmm. when is it the most appropriate for us to access and how to use the emergency room for our health care.
Got it. So let me start by conditions where you absolutely need to go to emergency room as soon as possible.
Yes.
So the two biggest things would be heart attacks and strokes.
Okay.
So heart attacks, obviously, if you're having chest pain, usually they'd say it as a pressure-like pain going to the arm or neck. That's definitely an urgency. You should go to the emergency room. Even if you go to primary or to an urgent care, they will send you back to an urgent, emergency room. Similarly, strokes. I have seen countless patients where, say, somebody has weakness in the arm or leg and they decide to wait at home, watch for a couple of hours or even a day or two, and then come to the emergency room. Absolutely not. Strokes, if you ever feel like you're having weakness in your arms, legs, you're having sensation abnormalities, you're not able to see, feeling dizzy all of a sudden, which is not going away, that's, again, a stroke. If you come into the emergency room within 3.5 hours of your symptoms starting, they can give you certain medications to completely stop the stroke and reverse it even.
Absolutely. Mm. I'm a testament of that, doctor.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And as you can imagine, it's life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
Like something that would devastate you otherwise, you're now able to reverse it within hours. So these are the absolute two important things where you need to get yourself into the emergency room.
Okay.
Other things, I would say it depends on how severe they are. Like, if you have something to do with your arms or legs, like pain, hurting yourself or something like that, you don't have to rush to the emergency room. You can go to primary if they can see you. Or if you feel like it's something more urgent, you can go to an urgent care. But once again, if you have something like abdominal pain, vomitings, etc., even if you go to these facilities, they may send you back to the mm-hmm. emergency room. Other stuff, common stuff we see is like nausea, vomiting, which honestly, sometimes you're in a position where you're not able to drink water, mm-hmm. and that makes you more and more dehydrated. Anything you drink, you vomit immediately. Those kind of situations, once again, if you go to urgent care, sometimes they can give you IV fluids, and you can once again avoid going to an emergency room.
What about respiratory type of things like asthma? People aren't sure asthma or bronchitis, or what's that other one, RSV for seniors that they're talking a lot about. What about those?
So once again, it depends on how bad it is. If you are not able to walk, if you take a few steps and you're feeling very short of breath, you can go to an urgent care. They can give you inhalers. Mm-hmm. If that resolves the issue, you can probably avoid going to an emergency room. But sometimes if even going to an urgent care doesn't help at all, even after the inhalers, they will send you to the emergency room.
Okay.
Issue with primary care, one thing I know is like we do have inadequate primary care up here.
Mm-hmm.
If you are one of those lucky people who can go to a primary care on short notice, you can go, you can get some treatment there, and then once again decide whether you want to go to emergency room or not. But I also know that a lot of people up here do not have access to primary care, and mm-hmm. that may not be something
that able they
to.
Have. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those are kind of the, and I know because the spectrum of what can happen that mm-hmm. would lead you to an emergency room is huge right?
Yes.
But primarily, those are the things that you want to be mindful of.
Yes.
And like you said, if it's heart mm-hmm. or stroke, no question, emergency room, because time is of the essence.
Yes.
Right? And then those other things to kind of, I guess, assess the degree of distress that a person finds themselves in.
As a rule, if you are able to walk somewhere, walk to an emergency room.
Oh.
If you are feeling like you're bad enough that you cannot even walk,
I have a quick question for you. Mm-hmm. You're talking about heart attack, and you're giving the symptoms for a heart attack. Is it the same for men and women when it comes to those symptoms?
Yes, exceptions being elderly people, like mm-hmm. above 65, 70, and diabetics, especially women.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes they can have what is called a silent heart attack. So when that happens, honestly, you don't even feel that you're having heart attack, and you feel dizzy, lightheaded, nauseous. Honestly, those kind of cases, there's no easy way to tell when to go to emergency room and when to go to urgent care. But if you feel like it's something short-lasting, it's going away within 20 to 30 minutes, you can go to an urgent care. But if it's something that is staying on despite your usual mm-hmm. trying to drink water, those kind of things, after an hour, maybe it's time to go.
After about an hour, then maybe you
especially if you have a history of heart attacks, it's very important to keep a lookout for those symptoms and go to an emergency.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, Doctor, I also wanted to ask, because we're seeing more and more, you know, it used to be you thought about heart attacks and strokes, and those would affect older people, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I'm hearing, so I'm just going to say that, mm-hmm. I'm hearing that more and more young people, so 40 and below, are having those type of experience. Are you seeing an uptick in that amongst young people?
If I'm being honest, I do see it in people who are, for lack of a better term, abusing illicit drugs.
Okay.
Yeah, like amphetamine usage. Unfortunately, up here in High Desert, it's a big problem. Like in our emergency room,
mm-hmm.
we do see a lot of people who take amphetamines more and more. Those people are very high risk to get heart diseases. Like I have seen people as young as 30s, 40s come in with their heart function at 10%.
Oh, wow.
And that's life-changing.
Right. Okay.
But on the whole, unless you have a family history of your mom or dad having a heart attack less than 55, it's unlikely to have heart diseases at a young age.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I think it sounds like to me what you're saying is we'll use common sense, monitor ourselves, mm-hmm. right,
yeah.
and then make determinations on how to best get care for ourselves,
yes.
whether that really warrants going to emergency or let's go to either primary care
yes.
or urgent care, and then they will direct. because yes. if it's something beyond the scope of what they typically will handle, they're going to make that referral anyway yes. and get right. you over to emergency.
And I forgot to address, I think in the past you asked me a question about bronchitis, RSV.
Yes. yes.
So once again, those, when you have cough, fevers, it could be most likely a viral illness unless you're producing like yellow sputum.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just something mucoid that you're bringing up, you can watch at home or even talk to your primary urgent care about it. Respiratory issues, like only when you become short of breath to a degree where you're not able to walk mm-hmm. beyond a certain point, or you're coughing so much that it's becoming difficult for you to take breaths.
Okay.
That's when I would say
emergency room. Yeah, okay. And I know a lot of people are concerned because, you know, recently the air quality, all the
yes.
fires,
oh, yes.
all of that kind of thing, and you're hearing people who say, I never had any kind of respiratory problems before,
right.
but
yes.
now I'm either it's bronchitis or I'm having some type of respiratory infection, but mm-hmm. still the I'm not going to say rule, mm-hmm. but a guideline is if you're able to walk,
yes,
right, then walk to the emergency or urgent care,
yes,
and then urgent care will be able to better direct
yes.
what your next steps are,
yes.
right? But if you're finding it is you do not have the capacity to walk, that's a clear
yes.
sign that you need to
you
get
need
to emergency.
Yes.
Okay. And that sounds good. Well, you know what? It leads me to, because here we are in the heat of summer.
Yes.
Right? and so, you know, we always really mindful about heat stroke, how to take care of ourselves. You always hear people saying, you know, stay hydrated. But what does all of that mean, Doctor?
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us some tips for, especially for like our kiddos, you know, because the kids, they want to go outside and
yes.
play and
That's
run
right.
around and all of
mm-hmm.
that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of want them, if you home with them all day, get them outside and let them play. And then we've also got our parents,
mm-hmm.
you know, and our seniors who are aging. And they need to be mindful of staying cool and regulated. So do you have some tips or some
yes.
information that will help us to navigate that?
Sure, yeah. So let's start with talking about preventative stuff, what we can do to prevent heat stroke or heat exhaustion from affecting us. The first thing I'll say is about yourself, try to wear a hat with like a wide brim so that you're in the shade.
Okay.
Yes.
Try to wear some loose clothes which are hanging over you. Cotton is a good breathable material.
Okay.
So that you're not trapping all the heat inside. Another thing I see is like people, when it's a short distance, like say picking your garbage can and bringing it back home, people try to avoid wearing shoes or slippers. And they try to run. That's not a good idea. I have seen feet burns.
Not a good idea.
Especially kids.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then coming to your special population, like elderly people, kids. Elderly people especially should avoid working outside, I would say, between 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. time.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, because
Makes
that's
sense.
When the sun is at its highest.
Okay,
yes.
So either early in the morning.
Early in the morning
or
late in the evening.
We
yes.
got
sense.
It.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And try to keep your environment cool. Like, I know not everybody can have access to air conditioning. If you do, awesome. If not, try to close the shades, curtains in your house and try to keep it cool. So, and try to stay indoors as
mm-hmm.
much as possible. Other issues, especially young people, other thing we notice is kids. They do not want to drink water. Like, they go outside to play.
Yes.
They feel thirsty, but they don't want to come in and drink
right.
water.
Mm-hmm.
So they try to avoid it. So try to keep an eye on kids, especially below 10 years, and make sure they're keeping themselves hydrated. Especially if they're sweating a lot, it's important to give them electrolytes along with water and not just water.
And I was
right.
going to ask you,
mm-hmm.
because when we talk about being hydrated, we automatically think water.
That's
right.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But you were talking about electrolytes.
Mm-hmm.
And I have heard, you know, not Gatorade, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what would you recommend or suggest?
So when it comes to keeping yourself hydrated, it depends on how much you sweat. If you're like just going outside for a few minutes and coming back and you're not sweating a lot, water is completely fine.
Mm-hmm.
Kids especially who like to play outside, sweating a lot more. If you're outside sweating in an outside for an hour or two,
right,
that's when electrolytes become important because you're also losing salt through your sweat. So
mm-hmm.
Yes, you have the options of these Gatorade and all these sport drinks.
Right.
Honestly speaking, like, I'm from India, so
okay.
I can tell you from experience, like, we cannot afford all these things. So even if you take a glass of water and put like a couple of pinches of salt in it, that will replete your electrolytes.
Oh, okay.
So you don't always have to go to expensive alternatives. Even something as simple as adding salt to your water can replete your electrolytes.
And that's a good tip, doctor, because, you know, now we're at the point where the kids are starting to go back to school. So especially a lot of our high school kids, when they're playing football, for example, right, and they have the practices, and they're out in the elements. I mean, they're exposed, and we're in the desert. We just have to be honest about it. But one of the things they can do is do the water with a couple of pinches of salt in it.
I like that.
To help replenish.
100%.
Oh, smart. Okay, like that's a good one.
They're very good.
Yeah.
Most people have salt in their house. They
do. That's a very simple thing to do.
Yes. And then for our seniors to just make sure that they're staying hydrated and cool, right?
And if you have time, I also wanted to talk about the signs and symptoms to keep a lookout for when it comes to heat stroke, heat exhaustion.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when it comes to heat-related disorders, we classify them into three categories. The simplest being heat cramps. That's when you are working outside in the heat and all of a sudden you notice that your calf muscles or your thigh muscles are starting to cramp. So that's the simplest. If you notice that, you definitely need electrolytes. You cannot treat this simply by drinking water.
Okay.
So definitely go inside home. Don't stay outside. And either if you have electrolyte water, drink that. Or like we discussed, you can always add salt to water and drink it too.
Okay.
The next level is what we call heat exhaustion or heat fatigue. This is, at this point, your body is still able to fight the heat. So you're sweating a lot. You're feeling dizzy, lightheaded because you're getting dehydrated. You feel nauseous. You may not go to the point of vomiting, but if it gets worse, you can start vomiting too.
Okay.
Yes. At this point, you definitely need to move inside. Don't drink water rapidly because that can lead to vomiting. Take it slow.
So be kind of measured with the intake of the water.
Yeah.
In that case. And that heat fatigue or exhaustion, that can happen a lot of times, like when we're going to the different amusement parks and you're outside and you're exposed for a length of time, right? So we want to be mindful of that. Okay.
Mm. And especially elderly people, once again, above 65, you're more prone to heat exhaustion.
Okay. All right. So you want
to... I was going to say, what happens instead of drinking the water electrolytes, they decide to have a soda or, you know, something that's very sugary. Will that make it even worse?
It won't. I mean, you're still receiving water. That's good.
All right.
But you're not receiving electrolytes. So that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
So once you go to the point of heat exhaustion, you need electrolytes.
All right.
So sodas will not cut it. It will relieve the dehydration part, but you still need salt intake.
Right.
So Very good. That.
Okay. And so that was the second level, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And the third level is called heat stroke.
Ah.
This is like an extreme. So at this point, your body has gone to a point where it gave up on fighting the heat. It can. So you see that people stop sweating. You see that they're all red in their face and their arms. They are confused. They don't talk straight. If it goes to an extreme, you can even lose consciousness.
Okay.
And usually at this point, because your body is no longer fighting the heat, your body's temperatures, you see 104s, 105s.
Oh, wow.
So when that happens, that is definitely an emergency. You should go to an emergency room. All right.
So let me ask a question. If that happens, and let's say that happens to one of your kids or it happens to your parent or your spouse or something, what do you need to do in transit to emergency? Yes. Is there anything that you can
do? Yes. So the best thing that we can do is if you can have wet clothes, putting them on the body helps lose the excess heat.
Okay.
Right.
At this point, depending on their mentation, like I said, sometimes they're completely knocked out, so they're not in a position to drink water or any fluids for that matter. So you may not be able to give them water. But if they are awake and just slightly confused and if they are able to drink water, getting them hydrated helps.
Okay.
But once it usually goes to this point, even with hydration, this is not something you can treat at home.
Okay. But in that in that transporting them to emergency, put some wet clothes on them to help bring that temp down.
To help get rid of the excess heat.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Okay. Well, that's really good stuff, Doctor.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm all following along and I can picture everything. Yeah.
I'm like making mental notes. I'm hoping nothing happens, but just in case, I want to be prepared.
But it's been worse. Like, you know, I have to tell you something. In my life, I've not seen as many heat strokes as I've seen in the last month.
Wow.
I don't know what's wrong this year, but I've seen so many heat strokes come to our hospital emergency room.
Really?
Yeah.
And do they fall into a certain age category or is it just across the board?
Most of them, at least I've seen three or four who were above 50, 55.
Okay.
Oh, weirdly enough, I had one who is in 30s. But I think he was homeless, so he was pretty much outside.
Okay.
So
okay. That
was an extreme situation.
All right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But just exposed outside for a long period of time and probably nobody noticed and they weren't able
to articulate.
Exactly.
He was in the desert.
That.
Nobody noticed. And then the police ended up bringing him to the hospital.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was...
Well, Dr. Maganti, it has been a pleasure.
Yes.
Thank you
so much for coming in today and educating us and sharing. Is there anything else that you want to tell us about, any resources or anything like that that may be available through the hospital? I know that St. Mary's has a website.
Yes.
And so I think maybe is a lot of this information accessible on the website?
I know they have a lot in it on the website, but I don't know if they go into details on all these things.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But definitely St. Mary's website is a good starting point. Where you can look up things and then decide whether you want to go to emergency room or urgent care.
Right, help you to make those decisions. And then what we'll do is we'll invite you back.
Sure.
To share more information with us and let us know how things are going with the residency program.
Definitely.
And we can even talk as a reminder, you know, because usually we have a tendency to forget things sometimes. So just as a general reminder of how to access and use the emergency room versus urgent care and primary care, you know, we can never have enough of those reminders, right?
Definitely.
And the things to look out for. So, Doctor, again, I want to thank you for being with us and sharing this information. It has been a pleasure and a joy to have you, and we extend an invitation to have you come back.
Thank you. I'm more than happy to come back and talk more.
Thank you.
Thanks again for being a part of the conversation. Reach out to us and let us know what you want to talk about. Send us an email at RoxanneScafidi@edbroadcasters.com. High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne. We'll talk to you next weekend.